Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, welcome. I'm Pastor David. We're having a podcast today that's based on a question from one of our students. And one of our students said, I want to ask about the rise of witchcraft, the occult, and how to navigate culture as a Christian, i.e. music, movies, clothing, and even games. So to help me discuss this, to the West, he who shall not be named, Pastor Bob Wilk.
Yes.
And to also help me talk about witchcraft, to the East is Rose. Okay, oh, Wicked Witch of the West, East. Everyone's, hopefully everybody got that one. Okay. So, wait a minute. We're talking about witchcraft today. Isn't witches stuff, like, isn't that from the old days?
I don't know which craft we're talking about, but this I hope craft. We talk about. Oh, we're talking about this craft.
Okay. Witchcraft, this craft.
This craft. Okay. Exactly. Good.
What is witchcraft, Pastor Bob?
It's horrible.
Yeah. You'd think so.
Yeah. It's just a devil-inspired religion that, you know, focuses on everything but God, but imitates God in the process.
Oh, okay.
Tries to, at least. You know, it's a kind
so it's
of
real. Like there's actually
oh, yeah.
real power to this.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. From what I've seen, there is.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Jesus is like, hey, I give you power and authority to, you know, tread over serpents, scorpions, all the power of the enemy. So I guess he's got some power going down. I think if you think he doesn't, you become ignorant of his possibilities.
Right, absolutely. Do you want to add anything to that, Rose? What's your understanding of witchcraft?
Yeah, just it's the practice of using supernatural powers or engaging with spiritual forces apart from God. It's rebellion, stubbornness, and idolatry.
Did you get that from AI? No. Wait a minute.
Every time I say something smart, Pastor Bob goes, did you ask AI that question? Did AI? I'm just manipulating you.
Tie a rock around her.
And if she weighs as much as a duck, she is a witch. Okay, sorry about that. Sorry. Yeah, women didn't have it easy in the old days. They'd just be like, oh.
If you're a friend of Pastor Bob's, you don't have it easy today either.
Every time a woman says something smart, it doesn't mean she's a witch. Just for you know, all you Puritans listening.
Yes. Okay.
All right, sweet. But that was a really good definition.
Thank you.
Why did you talk about stubbornness, though?
Because I struggle with stubbornness and have had one or two deliverances.
So you're covering for yourself?
No.
Yeah. Great.
Why do we say that stubbornness and rebellion are the same as witchcraft?
Well, the scripture says, I have a scripture that I wrote down as well.
Mm-hmm. AI. What would
that be? It is 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Okay. Wow.
Good religion.
Well, that was a little bit like hurtful to me because I thought I could judge all these witch people and all these magic people. But actually, as a religious person, it seems like I'm as much of a witch as anybody in Wicca because of stubbornness and rebellion and anything like that. Okay. So yeah, this isn't us saying, you know, let's, you know, kick all these witches out. You know,
it's, the, broom it's actually to,
the broom fits. The broom fits, press eject and get off of it. Okay. Good job, Rose. But hey, so we talked about a few forms of witchcraft, but have you ever encountered a witch, Pastor Bob?
Yes. On a few occasions, actually. Mm. Yeah, different times.
Old lady, big hat.
No.
Pointy nose.
What was this? What happened? You mind telling me?
The first witch I ever encountered was before I came to the Lord. Actually, I encountered several people and had friends that were in the occult. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of respect for it, but I definitely encountered that. Mm-hmm. This one, I thought for sure she was going to kill me. Like, I was positive about that. Matter of fact, I basically ran away. Which is tough because I was a young man in the world and she was pretty. Mm. Yeah. You broke my heart. But
how did you know she was a witch? What was it? What was going on?
She went into strange places. Let's just say that.
Okay.
She was out there and starting to, you know, things in divination and all that. And also, like I said, I've had friends in the world that were well into that. Like I had friends that wouldn't even get out of bed in the morning unless they consulted a chart and they were fully engulfed at crazy levels. And I would laugh at them all the time, which is really weird. I think you guys are weird, but yeah, they were into it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been on the other side of like a curse? Like, have you ever felt that since you were hanging out with those people, like from curses or like any of the stuff they were messing with towards you?
I don't know that I ever felt that from them. I guess I had no respect for it at the time. I think I had more respect for it as a Christian than I did as a heathen, to be honest with you. I just didn't, well, because I had no respect for God either at that time. Mm-hmm. So I think it put me like in this weird place where I didn't care about anything. And yeah, but they definitely, they get into a lot of interesting places. Let me just put it this way. And they wield a lot of power. And they're not stupid. They're pretty smart people. And I've seen things about them that always, you know, just because I didn't like God at the time doesn't mean I didn't, you know he existed. And just because I thought this, you know, satanic side was stupid and weird too doesn't mean I didn't realize it. It worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It actually did stuff. And so, yeah. So it's interesting. I don't know. It was kind of strange. I don't even know how I didn't get totally affected by all that, to be honest with you, with at that time. But one of the things, I was in a room with a bunch of people, and I guess you would call it somewhat of a seance, maybe, or something like that. And this guy was glowing. You know, it was interesting. Like I said, I had really strange friends.
He was glowing like he just found out he was pregnant or something?
No, like he glowed. His head just glowed. Probably more than mine does with these lights now. And I had a lot of hair then. I had hair like hers. But, I actually had a vision of during that time of the person who would change my life, who happened to turn out to be my pastor. Oh. And I had never seen a person like that. But in that time, in that gathering, and I don't want to give too much glory to the enemy in this, but all of a sudden I realized that this person was coming into my life, and I didn't know who she was or whatever. And what was, I don't know, revealed to me at that moment was that she was going to change my life. Mm-hmm. And it actually happened. It happened a week later. It was kind of crazy. But but this was with people who, and you know, and I know we'll discuss it. This, you know, there's a lot of drugs involved and stuff with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all part of the game.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you that question, Rose. Have you ever encountered a witch or maybe used sorcery yourself?
I have not like actually physically encountered a witch, but I have known a lot of people that like dabble in crystals or I actually have felt like I had to go get counsel from someone because I was feeling like spells and weird things coming into my life from somebody that I actually have never really met, and they just were not happy with who I was. But so I dealt with that, and that was kind of scary for a little bit. But it was like also, you know, I'm a child of God. So it was working through all that and all the.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've encountered a lot of people that were into like shamanism and sorcery, which I believe I'll have a question on this, but how it's linked to drug use, magic. I mean, I actually think that I know the Greek word is pharmakia for sorcery. Right. So a lot of times people use hallucinogens or different drugs to access the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's a growing field where people actually they have divination type experiences or visionary prophetic experiences, or they encounter beings in the spiritual realm because they're opening the gate themselves into the spiritual realm. And, you know, I've probably tried to do that with religion. You know, if you think about like how we've used witchcraft, like I've probably tried to make God do things for me that was not really his will to do at the time, just by maybe I can obey enough, or maybe I can do
that work out for you.
Well, not that good, because God isn't into being manipulated, and he's not really selling his services. There are other beings that are pretty much selling some short-term services for some long-term pain and bondage that you can get into. So
it's true. I think that is actually one of the signs of the occult and witchcraft, is that it's for sale at a different level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes it costs you a lot more than just cash.
Can you expand on that a little more?
I think it may cost you giving your life to something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's for sale. And meanwhile, God, Jesus, he paid.
Yeah.
So it's a big difference. The exchange is we give him nothing. He gives us everything.
That's the truth, right? And then the counterfeit is such a mercenary thing. Let me ask you this. This has come into my mind. You've done deliverance ministry for 40 years, casting out the enemy and dealing with that. How, you know, has witchcraft been a big thing that you've dealt with, or has it been, how has that filtered into your ministry?
Well, it's definitely a thing. And many times we've dealt with people involved in witchcraft, the occult, all sorts of things, people that were warlocks. And matter of fact, there are a couple of occasions I can remember where we prayed for people because it's like they couldn't get saved. Mm. I'm going to just put it that way. That may not be an accurate way to put it, but it's like there was so much resistance because of things they were into that they just couldn't hear, couldn't. And we actually prayed for them, and then they actually received the Lord and were fully delivered and came to him, you know, in the process and walking with him. One person I can think of is walking with him to this day, actually, and still, you know, and he was a warlock. I mean, a bona fide, you know, crazy, do crazy stuff things like, And so, yes, it happens all. It happens. I think if you're in deliverance, and I know I've seen it in other countries too that we've operated in and ministered in, and it's the same. It's weird and the same. Mm-hmm. It's just a different culture, but the same spirits, and they are wicked religious spirits, you know, usually very much tied to unclean spirits.
Okay.
So they kind of go together. Mm-hmm. And so, it is a big component of it, just so people know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just so.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you want to add anything to that, Rose? Mm-mm. Okay, let me ask you a question. We touched on a little bit so far, but what forms does witchcraft take? What are some ways people, you know, are struggling with, or things people are tempted to do, maybe even as Christians?
I think like one of the main ones is like astrology. Like I think people get really into the, I'm a Leo, I'm a Cancer, I'm a, you know, all the other ones. I did for a while. Mm-hmm. My husband was, you know, it's just something that's like really easy, because anything that I think you can tie your identity to is something that's really easy to like, this is who I am, is something that will very easily take you. Mm-hmm. Even when you're a Christian, because I'm a child of God, but what kind of child of God am I?
Yeah.
I'm one that does this, this, and this. And I don't know. It's good because I can't actually remember right now what a Leo, that's what I am, is a Leo, you know, okay. And so
or
were, but I don't remember what it was.
Cancer.
That's not a good one. Yeah.
But I think that's one that's really easy. And then I think idolatry is a form of witchcraft that everyone does, especially as a Christian. Like it's so easy. I mean, like our phones, our time, our everything can become an idol if you put it before God.
Yeah, that's good. You have anything to add to
that? It's interesting when you were mentioning about, you know, people are into astrology and things, and what they're doing is they're kind of abdicating their responsibility that they make choices and they have will and they have, you know, and they have a purpose in God.
Right.
And maybe that purpose is not fully revealed, but God has it for them, and they will, if they follow on to know him, they will actually get it. Those kinds of things just put you in a little category and say that's who you are.
Right.
And that's, you know, because you were born that way. Mm-hmm. And so now you're stuck that way.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, stars decided.
Right.
Yes. But meanwhile, God's like, hey, I got a born again thing for you. Mm-hmm. If you want that, it's all yours. And then it's complete freedom in that process.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all Leos in the kingdom of God.
Leo.
The Lion of Judah.
Yes.
No, it's really interesting, so right? And so there's fate in this too. It's like, it's fatalism, right? I mean, it's saying like, I mean, I know people are like, oh, I'm going to use this power to do X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I cannot do otherwise because the stars have already decided everything.
Right.
So that doesn't make sense.
Like, where's God in all this?
Right.
Exactly. You know, I think when I heard you talking about the horoscope and all that, I was thinking on many occasions in the past, we've ministered to people because their entrance into that was something that seemed very simple and not weird. Not like, you know, we're not talking about like, you know, a person that's actually a witch or actually a, you know, a warlock. I mean, these are pretty heavy duty, crazy things are going on with those folks. But, you know, something, Ouija boards. Now, you would be amazed how many people that we've ministered to over years that they started with something like, they thought it was a game. Mm-hmm. That's all they thought it was. Mm-hmm. They didn't respect it as, you know, some mystical, spiritual thing, but it opened a door. And it was so weird. It's so strange to see the progression from that door opening. And it's a simple thing. It's not a, you know, and they, and matter of fact, there have been people who opened that door and they, like I said, they didn't even know.
Right.
Like they just didn't know. And yet it happened. And you can trace it back to that moment. And then they're like, oh yeah, something happened. And so, it, like I said, it's very, I think the world tries to make it, and the God of this world tries to make it very, easy to slip into that place.
Like, or, oh, your horoscope says this today. What? Oh, okay. I'll just read it. Probably it's not serious. And then it really, like, you know, has to do with your day or something. You're like, wow, that was so accurate. I wonder what you'll say tomorrow. And then it's just.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to go to the deep end here right now. And that is, you know, unfortunately, sometimes in Christianity, and by the way, we all very prophetic people. We believe in the prophetic. We, you know, but sometimes in Christianity, prophetic can be used as like a horoscope, and it makes me crazy.
Right.
So I'm just going on record, and you know, we'll get back to we'll get back to this. But I'm going to just say that can turn into just matter of fact. A lot of times, sorcery in the Bible, I think in Revelation, it's very much tied to prophetic unctions and
false prophets.
So just so I think it can happen, and look at where that can happen so easily in the church.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Sorry.
How does witchcraft get into the church, and what forms does it take in the church? And I was listening to Derek Prince. He was teaching on this, and he says, you know, two forms of witchcraft are manipulation and intimidation. I thought that was pretty amazing, because basically you're using your authority in intimidation. You're using your authority and your spiritual position to intimidate people and to get your way. Like that's really why anyone would use sorcery or magic, is to get something they want that they're not getting. Right. And so they're using a spiritual authority or power or position to get that, what they want, through intimidation or like through a false prophet. Let's manipulate people. Let's take on the mantle of speaking in the name of God, you know, to feast on the sheep and to get something from them. And really that's what Jesus said, is he's like, that's, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's not somebody that is building up the church. That's somebody that's manipulating the church.
Right.
And so I thought that was a pretty good insight, but,
it's a very good insight.
Derek Prince. He has a lot more good material on this, by the way, if people want to do a deeper study. But do you guys see anything else that you think are areas that the church, where you know, witchcraft can enter into the church? You see anything else?
Well, I believe, possibly, because like Rose was saying earlier from the scriptures out of Samuel, that, you know, there's stubbornness and rebellion. And I believe that that's not excluded to outside the church. I believe that's inside the church. So when people inside the church start to get stubborn about things, just digging their feet in, you know, their heels in, and like, hey, I don't like that thing, and I'm do it my way. And if there's too much of that that goes on, it's unchecked. Or if there's no place for the Holy Spirit to come and go, okay, I know this doesn't settle with you and your feelings, but this is me. You hear what I'm saying? That's when that stubbornness or rebellion can take hold like a spell. Let me just put it that way. And really grip somebody, a child of God, and just cause them to be placed in a position where they're practicing witchcraft. Did I just say that? They're practicing it. They're actually entertaining it.
Anytime you're like, you know, let's say you're a pastor and you're going to use your authority to control someone.
Yeah.
The spiritual power and position that you have, you know, you're controlling, you're manipulating, you're actually, maybe you're putting bondage on people. In Galatians, Paul says, hey, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you?
Right.
Who bewitched you? And it's somebody that came in and laid extra laws on them that God never actually gave to them. in order to bring prestige to that false teacher, or in order to bring allegiance or followers, or, you know, something that guy wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, he says he wanted to boast in their flesh. And so he brought in this spell of legalism mm-hmm. to just bind people and create, you know, these puppets. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, yeah, it could be very insidious
and very subtle. And sometimes, like we understand at Colossians and mm-hmm. other places, where it's not only just maybe the pastor or the elder, it mm-hmm. could just be somebody in there promoting right. some teaching.
Oh, yeah.
That's from outside. It's a worldly teaching that they're bringing into the body, and they're basically, you know, it's kind of can be mysticism. It can take on a lot of flavors, actually. And you used the word earlier. It's designed to either intimidate or impose mm-hmm. a different will, a different gospel on people. Yeah. And it's very, it's insidious, actually. And it can be, and I think there's some people who fall into that just unaware. And then I think there's some people who just do it for the power. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's in a church or out in mm-hmm. the world. It doesn't matter. They'll exercise that.
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah weird anything, stuff. Huh?
It is. Anything yeah. you see, Rose, on this?
Yeah, I think that sometimes people, as just even Christians, but then especially prophets, can go around and everything is God told me this, and this is how I should mm-hmm. do this, and this is what I think you should, God thinks you should do, and like put like God's saying this, and like hyper spiritualized thing. Like sometimes you just need to say, this is maybe what I think mm-hmm. and not what God thinks. But I think that's what gets into like false prophets
yeah.
as well, is like you're going around and telling people like, oh, you know, here's this, and God says it needs to be this way, but really it's mm-hmm. just the way that I want it. And I'm trying to manipulate you into doing yeah. what I think is right, because I think this is what God wants. And yeah. so I see that just even amongst believers. And sometimes I don't think people really always mean to do that, but I think that's one way that it easily creeps in and just yeah. is there.
Yeah. I mean, you can totally protect yourself and, you know, you can cast a cloak of invincibility over yourself, you know, by just being like, hey, whatever I do, I say, yeah, God put on my heart to be doing this.
Right.
And, oh, I woke up today and God said, go to Starbucks. And he said, you know, someone's going to give me $3. And he's like, you can't ever disagree with that person.
Right.
You're disagreeing with God. They're putting themselves in this mm-hmm. position of just complete, I have a bubble around me, and whatever I say has to go unchallenged. I have this power about me, this aura. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. So it's just like, you can see how like it can come into the church. It's not just somebody walking around, you know, killing chickens and sticking pins right. at dolls right. and everything.
It's like, it's a very subtle intimidation.
Yeah.
It's not overt in your face so much. It yeah. kind of comes across like, it sounds good-ish or loving, but the reality is it building up the church,
right?
Or is it tearing down the church?
Right. Yeah,
or is it building up a person and their place, or is it making people get really comfortable with putting everything in a person instead of the person of Christ? Mm-hmm. And so that's a part of it, and I think that's what false religions, you know, I mean, all of mm-hmm. witchcraft and sorceries and all, that's what they do, is they are taking you off of God or attempting to mm-hmm. and putting your focus and your hope on something other.
Right.
So we raise up idols even in the church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, in God's people, you know, Old Testament, there were lots of idols there, and they just, you know, and then in the New Testament, lots of idols there. Mm-hmm. And those are, you know, false gods. That's where sorcery has it. That's where it coalesces around. That's where, you know, it is yeah. in the lands.
You can enshrine a lot of mm-hmm. things, right? And then, mm-hmm. And it always bears a curse. Right. Mm-hmm. witchcraft is connected with the curse, because it's these words that you speak in the power of a spirit mm-hmm. that has an effect on people. And it will levy a curse on people's lives. And it always comes back on you too, like with Balaam, right? So like Balaam is trying to bring a curse on the Israelites. God says, no, you can't curse them. And he's like, I'm going to figure out a way to curse them, right? And so he uses manipulation and deception and idolatry to bring harm upon them. But then he ends up getting killed with the edge of the sword, right? So like none of this, you're always going to reap what you sow. There's always a price to be paid, like you were saying, Pastor Bob. Whenever you're exalting yourself over others and you're borrowing spiritual power from a source that you can't really pay for it, right. Your ego's writing checks your body can't cash, in the immortal words of Top Gun.
I love that.
Like eventually you're going to pay for this stuff, right? I don't know. Am I wrong on that?
I think you're right. Always, yes. Right.
There's always a bill.
Someone's going to pay.
Yeah. You're going to be flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog crap out of Hong Kong. Okay, so what's
where did that come from?
People know.
We depend on David to come up with this.
I actually don't know that one.
You don't know Top Gun? My gosh. Okay. So we're going to have a movie day for our spirit school ministry team. Okay. We're going to watch Holy Grail and Top Gun. Okay. All right. So that's nice. Good. Okay. Holy Grail has some good teachings on witches too. Okay. So, yes. Hey, how about this? So this is really what the question was originally, right? So we're finally to the actual question that the person asked, because we have to establish what witchcraft is, new age, occult, and things like that, divination. So the question really is, should Christians abstain from all cultural practices that relate to magic, right? So it's like there's magic, there's a cult. What's the Christian's role in that? Like, you know, magic, because magic comes into holidays like Halloween. It comes into Harry Potter, you know, fantasy novels, Lord of the Rings, like all these media things.
Narnia.
Okay, Narnia. Oh, well, that's a...
It does come into that, though.
There's a witch.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And a wardrobe.
Yeah, there is. even Christmas now, people are saying, has pagan origins.
It does, so.
Okay. So, like, what? How do we know what our approach should be to these things? Rose?
Bob?
Rose?
Bob?
Well, yeah. I think we're in the world, but not of the world. And I think when you start to worship those things, mm-hmm. when those things become the center of your affections and the center of everything, and you start developing doctrines around those things, and you start developing a way of life around those things, then, in the immortal words, you've got a problem. Yeah. But
could you start worshiping abstaining from those things?
Well, yeah, you can turn everything into a religion. Like, I can't look on that. I can't, you know, because...
What if I open a door?
All right, here's the deal.
Sorry.
You can't abstain completely because you will no longer be in the world.
Oh.
See, that's where I began this with, because we're in the world, and you're going to have to deal with people who are, you know, I mean, they're witches, and or they're... under persuasion, or they're been wooed into something, and you need to know how that works, what that looks like, what that, you know, and if you're untouchable in that way completely, it's like, yeah, that's probably not going to work. You're not going to be able to minister to them in any way. Now, I don't believe you should go into a witch's coven and you know start doing covenant with them just so that you have the experience of, you know, I think you
I'm
could
in
be,
the world.
Yes. Well, you could be tempting God. You know, so I'd say you need to know what affects you.
Yeah.
You need to discern at all times. Mm-hmm. And you know, if something's bothering you, you know, if I hear somebody go, oh yeah, I watched this thing and it had some witchcraft and now I'm having bad, you know, dreams. Right. I'm like, you probably should never do that again.
Right.
If it's going to affect you like that. Right. And maybe somebody else, it didn't quite go there. Now, like I said, we can turn that into both the practice of watching that or the abstention from that into a religion if we're not careful.
Right.
Yeah.
It's totally. It's very, very easy. And so, yeah. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I just was going to say that discernment, I think, is the most crucial element in this. And I think that it's not the same for everyone. And I think that you need to use discernment and you need to talk to God and figure out what is and is not okay for your soul. And I think that, I mean, I have a testimony of that. I one time there was like this movie that is, you know, on the edge here of what we're talking about. But I was in a really, really dark place in my life. And I watched this movie and then I went and like mutilated my body because that's where I was at in my life. And I like really was adamant that no one should ever watch this because this is what it does to somebody. But that just wasn't the truth. And it was just because of a place I was in and I opened a door at the wrong moment. And now the same thing has no effect on my life and is not a problem. And so I think that just using discernment, and also not just because something affects you badly, doesn't mean that you go around telling everyone that it's going to affect them badly, which is what I did do for a little while. So I'm sorry to anyone who that was. I think I've talked to all of them so far, but I think discernment is the most crucial thing. As a Christian, you just need to use discernment and you need to know when you're opening a door to something and when you're not. And I think also I would just say to this that if you're married and the Lord says something to your spouse about something you should or shouldn't be watching or should or shouldn't be reading or shouldn't be taking part of, then you need to submit to your spouse. Because
wait, I have to put their preferences above my own preferences.
I mean, yeah, even if it is a preference, I think that is you know, the vow, submit. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Give your life, lay down your life for one another. Life. Yeah. So I think that is
great point.
Just I liked what you said. And I also want to add on to that because of the discernment component. There may be Christians, you know, that are either young or newer to God or more impressionable in some ways. Mm-hmm. And it may be absolutely God for you to go, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Right.
Yeah.
Like not only, you know, I mean, just because, you know, you were in a bad place, you did this and it, you know, all of a sudden became, the Ten Commandments, don't ever right. do that. I mean, I've seen people go that way with Christmas trees, right. you know, like, I mean, honestly, sometimes I feel that way because I don't like to put up my Christmas tree, but that's a whole different story.
I might adopt that. Just I'm going to adopt save that, a little money
adopt and that religion. Oh my gosh. But the reality is that you have to be able to discern not just for yourself, but there are people in your life.
Right.
And you are your brother's keeper.
Yeah.
And if you know a young person, especially someone who's come out of, you know, and they've been involved in a lot of things in life mm-hmm. and suffered the loss of things mm-hmm. in there, you'd be foolish to not say anything to them.
Yeah,
I think God totally. Would have some words with you later, like, hey, mm-hmm. you know, you let them go do that just because you're okay with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just because you don't want to seem religious to right. them, you know?
I mean,
you need to say something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a good example I feel is like, you know, my wife lived in Africa for almost 7 years and she's seen actual witchcraft, like people mm-hmm. with witch doctors that were afflicted and they had needles in their skin. And I'll let her come in and tell this sometime, right. you know, but like real crazy, yeah. crazy things. Mm-hmm. And she meets me and I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch Lord of the Rings and I'm going to watch Harry Potter. And it didn't bother me because to me that's fake. It's like, it's not the real world, mm-hmm. but she's like, oh, I don't want to watch that. I've seen stuff like that. It's gross. It's gross to me. And so I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not going to be like, sit down and you're going to like Harry Potter, you know, wait till you see Voldemort in the back of his head. You know, like, you know, I'm not going to be like, you have to do this. It's insane.
Right.
Right. And like, you have to realize people have had different backgrounds and different experiences. And yeah, you have to be really careful of like what you're leading people into and stuff. And,
yeah.
But especially Harry the other side of it that Rose,
because he's yeah. English. Right. Oh, okay. And we know what that's. I mean, you guys forced me to watch Princess Bride. That was hard enough.
It was not hard enough. You were like this the whole time.
You loved yeah, it.
I was like, what's wrong with these people?
Everyone else was falling asleep except for the people quoting the whole movie. But you were wide awake.
Yes. Yeah. Didn't want to miss a beat.
No, but I mean, let me ask you this question, though, because some people really feel strongly about like if I watch a Disney movie, demons are going to enter my house. You know, if I go to yoga class, I'm going to be possessed by demons because yoga originated from Hinduism, right? Now, for that person, it probably would be because mm-hmm. That's where their faith is at, right? Right? Now, but let me just ask a general question of like, how do demons get into your life? If I walk into a Buddhist temple by accident, am I going to get a demon? If I just walk into a yoga studio, am I going to be possessed by a demon?
I don't think by just walking into a place like that. I think
just being exposed is not enough.
No, but I don't believe that's the case. And I think it has a lot more to do with where your heart's at and if you're open to it and you really mm-hmm. want that, because yeah. you're going to run into things in life. And then what's going to happen? You know, if you're that afraid, you know, looking around every corner.
Right.
Now, The other side of that is, if someone has concerns in those areas, I wouldn't drag them off to your yoga class with them because it's you're putting a net in front of a weaker brother. And I don't mean weaker, like they may be really stronger than you in a lot of other areas, but not that one.
Right.
So now you have to be cognizant of people and their, you know, or, you know, like I said, if they, if you know they hurt there, what, or they're concerned or have a fear there, you know, it's not like, okay, we're going to get you over this fear. We're going to drag you into, you know, it's like, really? You're doing damage. Like, I don't know what God's going to say at that point in time. Yeah. He's got, you know, so he's like, hey, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I think like just finding the line there of like, you know, it's more about our brother than it is about us. Oh, if we feel like it doesn't harm us, you know, we should still be checking ourselves to see if we're opening a door, you know. But even if we feel like we're okay in an area, shouldn't it be more important what our brother and sister is feeling, right? And to live above reproach.
But by the way, just to answer part of your question too about just walking into a place, there are times when you will walk into a place and there's a heavy presence of spirits there. And, you know, if you're a Christian, you are going to sense that. It doesn't mean you're going to be overcome by that. But, you know, if you're ignorant to that, that could be a real issue. Is all I'm going to say. And so you'll sense it, and it's okay to sense it because you should be on alert then.
Do you want to add anything to that?
No, not really. I think just to kind of, I know you're a little sarcastic about it, but just the like if I watch a Disney movie, is a demon gonna, you know, jump out at me or something? But like, it's who do you fear? Do you fear the Lord? Or do you fear, like, where's your fear? And I think that if you're fearing the Lord, then you may sense the presence of something gross. You may sense the presence of something awful and scary. And those things are real. Like, I experienced and have experienced this my whole life where I'm like at the cash register and like, I just, this person like is heavily involved in things. And it just, I can't explain it except I feel gross just being around them. And you just gotta, like, it just, it's heavy and it's scary sometimes if you don't handle it correctly. But I think that that's the thing is like, if you're fearing the Lord, then you're not like, you're not gonna, it's not, it doesn't have an effect on you. It doesn't have a right. Like, your authority is in Christ. And so I think that you can't be in fear that, oh, if I go in there, I'm going to get a demon. Or if I watch this movie, I'm going to get a demon. And again, just use discernment.
There's the other side of that also that we should be aware of and let people know, and that is a lot of movies and media, not just movies, games, things like that, are designed to make you numb, you know, so that you won't be alert. You know, it'll be foolish or silly to you.
Right.
You become willingly ignorant of the devices of the enemy, and movies are strategic that way. Or, you know, oh yeah, those are just demons. It doesn't mean anything, right? And you get kind of normal. It gets normalized. And movies can have that effect on a person too. So I would be checking myself if you're watching a movie and all of a sudden you become faithless or factless in the fact that God, you know, says there's, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places, and there's things that we should war against and things we should be on alert to. But because you're watching things and you become numb to that, you are no longer a very good discerner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's another part. And you might be very strong in the Lord,
right?
You know, in the power of his might and all that. And yet you might be like becoming indifferent to the fact that those things, they're designed, if they can't overcome you with just fear, they may overcome you with just indifference, so that you're less likely to alert somebody, like somebody you do know, like, oh, they're, you know, that movie, you probably shouldn't watch it.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You won't say that because your perspective is now, you know, or your position now is, well, it's all fake.
Right.
Like, I think that about every movie, by the way, because this is fake. They're all just, it's all a movie, right? It's all acting, yes?
Yeah.
But they're designed to affect your soul. And they will do that. They will. You know, like I said,
well, it depends what you bring to it, right? I mean, right. It's like, it depends how much power you're giving to that, mm-hmm. whether consciously or subconsciously. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe you could get a demon by osmosis. You know, I don't believe that happens. I believe you have to actually make a choice to do something, like mm-hmm. to open up a door. And like you said, with Ouija boards, maybe you're not even mm-hmm. fully conscious of that, but you are doing something.
Yeah. Right.
You're not just like, oh, I see a Ouija board. Now there's a demon. Right. You know, it's like there's some choice that you're making. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with what you guys are saying that, you know, it's like, it's not just, you know, can I watch this, but does this edify me? Mm-hmm. What is this producing in me? And if we're not looking to ourselves and like, and actually saying like, I want things that build me up. I want things that increase the testimony of Christ in me. Mm-hmm. I want things that, I mean, I watch some movies that aren't just like Christian pure flicks movies, right? Mm-hmm. But they actually like show the human experience. Like it's mm-hmm. art. It has a reason mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, here's a gratuitous horror movie where everyone's dying. Like to me, I don't think that's a very good choice. Right. I don't know how that could produce edification. Like, but there are certain things that are art that are like literary or that are actually going to help you in your walk. And you, if you're not discerning that, like that, like you're saying, the impact it's having on your life, you're not being responsible. And we always have to be responsible with our intake and our output. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we should live in fear.
Right.
I don't think we should say greater is he who is out there than he who is in me.
Right.
Because that's the opposite of the word of God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I go in a place and I sense a yucky spirit, you know, I sense like there's oppressive stuff. I can pray. I can actually become the light that drives out the darkness. I might not always be ready to do that, but we should be.
Right.
Like we should be like, hey, look, the Lord is infinitely stronger than any of these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why would I invite him in? Right. But why would I be afraid of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it is sort of it's a good question the person asks. Like, yeah. And I don't think we're going to give a perfect answer necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think, you know, what they've mentioned are some good tools.
Yeah. I don't think that you should be afraid. I think if you're a Christian and you have Holy Spirit, that there shouldn't be a fear in you like that. I believe there should be, you should be cognizant and aware that those things have power. And that if you're foolish enough to open up the door to them, they could overcome you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that would be, you know, you can play with, you know, I mean, fire is great.
Right.
Till you're in it. Then it's not so great anymore. Right. You know, it's like, so I think there's wisdom there. And like I said, I keep wanting to go back to if it's someone that's new to God, it's probably better that they not dabble in other things.
Right.
I'm just going to go like that because
come out from them and be separate.
Yeah, because they need time to be with God.
Yeah.
They need time of his input and not just input from every weird thing, or they'll just categorize the God thing along with all those other things. They won't know how to separate it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I think that's totally right. I mean, the scriptures come into mind in 2 Corinthians 6 of mm-hmm. what fellowship does light have with darkness? What mm-hmm. accord does Christ have with mm-hmm. Belial? My only hesitation on this and why I ask a sarcastic kind of testing right, question right. is I'm testing myself because I tend to go full legalist. I tend to be like, right. I'm not allowed to watch anything. Right. I'm not allowed to read. I'm just being, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I'm not allowed to like see a picture of a wizard. Like I'm not allowed to go anywhere that could possibly, mm-hmm. I tend to do that. And so I want to have this idea that we are going to overcome the devil. We're actually going to be, like you said, in the world and not of the world.
Right.
We can actually see stories and actually hear people's accounts that are disturbing and be like, I can figure out how to weave that into God's redemptive mm-hmm. story. I need to somehow know those experiences to relate to some degree, right? And so it is a little bit more challenging to be like, I need to grow in my maturity and my discernment when I'm at a good place, mm-hmm. when I'm not a new Christian, right? Like, how can I move into the fullness of what God has and walk in authority, not just, oh, better never take a single risk on anything, right. you know? So that's why I look for kind of the right. whole counsel
there's,
here.
There's a balance there. And I think the maturity aspect is important in this area, especially in this area. I think if immature Christians had run into Simon the sorcerer, they would have probably, you know, gone along with his deal, you know, hey, you want to buy?
A lot of people did.
Yeah, they did. Right. And, people who, by the way, weren't all that mature in God and, you know, in terms of years, but God had already anointed them.
Right.
They sensed, oh yeah, you don't know, you know,
what you're doing.
They discerned it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they did interface with him probably quite a bit, actually.
Oh, yeah. You read about it. He was like, traveling with him.
Yeah. I mean, so there was that. But then they also were willing to go, hey, now you're going a little too far here. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there's that's that maturity discernment component that I don't think a new baby Christian has. Like, I don't think they just go along with that and be like, he's okay, you know, and he would lead them maybe intentionally or maybe unintentionally, you know, or inadvertently into really bad stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll mix things because I think that's what sorcery and all that is. It's that deception component. That
alchemy.
Hey, watch your language. The children. Right.
Doctrinal alchemy.
Yes. It's that mixture. Mm-hmm. And and we see that. That's the component of, you know, like we talked about movies, is there a mixture coming into your soul? Mm. Like, are you going, well, that's okay. And God is, you know, and look, it looks a lot like God. It's maybe it's not.
Yeah.
You know, and be able to discern that and go, no, that's right and that's wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great challenge.
It's a rough one, but to become religious and, you know, judgmental and
make me want to watch The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe again. Because I know that's just the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty good.
That is good. I don't think anything's going to make me want to watch The Bride. The Princess Bride is like just too much.
Well, let me ask this as we come closer to the end here. How do we break free of bondage to the occult? Like if somebody's listening and they're like, man, I've really opened a lot of doors here. I'm supposed to be a Christian, but I got astrology things on Facebook coming up every day. I got idols. I got, you know, whatever it is that they may have. I've been intimidating people. I've been manipulating people under my authority. Is there a way out of this? Or are we just like witches and we should just quit now? Which way should we go?
Which one of us is a witch? No.
What do you think, Rose? How could somebody get out of that situation?
I didn't totally hear your entire question because I got caught up on... There was one question that I really wanted you to ask.
Oh, let's do that one. I was like,
before you end with that.
Yeah, yeah. What was the question that you wanted
to ask? Is there such a thing as white magic or good healing magic?
Is there such a thing as white magic or good magic or healing magic?
No.
Okay, good. All
right. I just wanted... Yeah. I felt like that was important because I think that some people can... Especially when you're like mixing Christianity and like other things like crystals and things like, oh, this is good. It's white magic. It's clean magic. It's not causing
Reiki,
harm to anybody.
Healing touch.
Yeah. It's causing healing. I'm healing. Mm-hmm. God wants healing. And I think that's something that.
But why is that bad? Aren't you doing good stuff with it?
No.
What if there's something good that comes out of it?
Yeah.
Why is it bad? Sorry to be the devil's
advocate. Oh, yes. You're such a good devil. No, yeah, he's asking you.
Yeah. Why do you think that's bad?
Because you're relying on another power that's not God. Yep.
Oh. There it is.
So if you're, and that's detestable to God. Ooh. So
yes.
The abomination word. Yeah, good. No necromancers or any of that. Yeah.
Right.
False gods don't work.
And that would be, a necromancer would be like a medium, right? Somebody that's consulting spirits of the dead. Mm-hmm. Just throw them all out there. All the
Ouija boards.
Different forms, you know, that people use. But yeah, I think there is no such thing as good magic because that implies there's some meta divine realm. There's just an existing well of power out there that anybody can tap into.
Yes.
And it's disembodied power. It's not connected to any personality or any entity. And with the right spell, the right drug use, the right positive thinking, the right manifestation,
right,
I will manifest a Ferrari for myself and a great career because there's a pool of resources for me to tap on. And it's free. It's just like, do I believe it? Yeah. I have power of positive thinking.
Right.
The power of now. It's now. Like, it's now is my time. Right. And that is what the world believes. Like, that is like, that's the religion of our culture, is that we're like these atheists that still believe in the force, like force fields and stuff. Right. But what we believe as Christians is that all power is delegated from personality. All power is from God. All authority is from God. There are rebel beings, demons, right? Mm-hmm. Fallen angels. There's rebel beings that God still gave them power and authority. And you can tap into their power
right,
and become their slave. Or you could tap into God's power and be set free. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like, well, what power do I want to draw power from? We all need spiritual power. We're spiritual beings. But my thing that I tell people is like, do I want to enter the spiritual realm by myself without any protection, like a minnow in a sea of sharks?
Yeah.
Or do I want to actually go in under the covering of God?
Right.
And he's going to protect me. I can enter the spiritual realm anytime I want through prayer, through silence, through actually focusing on God and contemplation, through reading the word of God. I can enter in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. I don't have to like bind myself to some entity.
Right.
And the scary thing about the entity is it's like, just, you know, access this horoscope or just do this thing and you'll get power. But really, it's like, actually, you borrowed that money that you used.
Yeah.
And it was my money. And now I own you, mm-hmm. you know, and that's really like the unseen realm that's behind this power. So it was a good question, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So I'm glad you reminded me.
I can hear your
reminded
question.
Me to ask that question because there isn't.
You should remind him of everything.
Because that's the lie about magic.
Right.
Is there is a magical force field out there that right. you can get.
It's a river you can tap into.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're really beings.
Yes.
And it's like, well, what being are you loyal to? That's what God was, the whole Old Testament was like, you're loyal to these false gods.
Right.
Yeah. You're divining by these false gods. Why don't you inquire of your God? Should not a people inquire of their God? Mm-hmm. Why are you drawing power from these other forces?
Right.
Okay. Not forces, beings, mm-hmm. persons. Okay. So, all right. That was the side, like side note. So now that we talked about that right. junk.
Now I can hear.
Now can you hear?
Yes, okay. I can hear.
We will conclude with the salvation question. So how can somebody get out of this? If somebody's like, man, I've been using magic. I've been doing stuff I shouldn't. I've been manipulating people. Like, how can somebody get out of that?
They should call Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Holy Ghostbuster. Yeah.
Exactly. How do you think someone would begin? Maybe have you ever gotten out of anything?
Repentance. Surrendering to Christ.
R word.
The R word. There's such a simplicity in Christ.
Right.
See, the problem with all of these other entities is they confuse everything. They make it very complex. Yeah. And like, you have to do this and do that. And God's like, you know, he's God of the universe. It's like, just come here.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you do that with a pure heart, you're delivered. Mm-hmm. That's the deal. That's actually what can happen. Most of the time we mix religions, right? So a lot of times we'll go, yeah, I probably should sort of turn to God, but maybe I have to do a few things. I have to work right. for a few things.
I have to clean this part of the house.
Yeah. You know, I have to, you know, it's
witchcraft.
Like a couple of, right. yes, and a couple of incantations and now we're good. That and God.
Put the crystals in the window.
Yes. So I think there's
cleanse this house.
Yes.
I have exorcised the demons. Oh. This house is clear.
Burning sage. Let's start. I don't
had
know.
To be said.
Yes, I don't know. Yeah. Someone had to say it.
Yeah.
I don't know how Sage feels about being burned.
Oh. If she was a witch. That was bad. We don't support that.
Yeah, we don't support that. Okay. We don't support that.
That's a disclaimer.
I love Pastor David. He said all these disclaimers. Yeah.
We don't support that.
But seriously, there is a simplicity in Christ. And I would say that anyone listening to this, they need to understand that, know that, know that we have a God who's in heaven, that, you know, we have seen him deliver us and others. And he, you know, because they're always looking for these other things that work.
Right. Yeah.
God is, okay, he is the thing. And so you don't have to worry. You can put your trust in him. And he will deliver. You know, he's the one, you know, stand still and see the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord, not just, you know, some weird God thing. And so those things you started off earlier with, you know, they try to bring not just people, but those spirits try to bring intimidation, confusion, fear, torment, all of that stuff. And there's a simple turning from that. And then God delivers. Mm-hmm. Like that's who he is. And, you know, you see this all through the Bible in his people all turning to other sources. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm here. My hands are wide open.
Yeah.
Now, does this just seem so simple to you? Like, come to me and repent. Mm-hmm. Yes. Just come to me and you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that God's like, hey, I'll give you power, but you gotta actually like relate to me.
Yes.
So the sorcery is non-relational power.
Right.
Like I just will do what I want and this I can use this energy or the spell to get what I want.
Right.
God doesn't play that game.
Right.
Right.
He goes, yeah, I'll give you the power you need to live the life
right.
I created you to do. And I want you to talk to me. I want you more than I want to give you things or for you to do something, you know.
Yes.
I want you. And we're like, I don't want you, God. I want your right. power.
Right. Mm-hmm. That, you're just access. You're going to access his power. And instead of in him, we live, move, have our being. In him, we are who we are. Mm-hmm. And that's that total reliance thing that on him. It's totally different than just accessing. Because you can access those other powers, by the way.
Can.
Very
Anybody
easily.
Could.
People do it. It costs you everything. but you can access them. But God, he's like, I don't want you to just access me. I want to be with you.
Yeah.
I want in full relationship and intimacy. And that is a different thing. Because, and that's what so much of the world presents, right? You can have stuff without actually being in relationship.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is be associated right. here. Mm-hmm. Pay the dues.
Yeah.
And then you're in, you know?
Yeah.
And God's like, I'll pay the dues, but you have to stay with me.
Yeah,
it's a different kind of loyalty. World. And it's interesting.
I would add one other thing is just there could be a big turning if you've been really into this. I mean, when Paul led a revival in Ephesus and said people came and they burned their magic books and it would cost a fortune, the cost that they burned. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe you've invested years of your life in some practice. Maybe someone's listening right now and you've invested years of your life in maybe even teaching others how to manifest things or the power of positive thinking or, you know, healing touch, or you have some thing that maybe you've even called a ministry that's not, you know, in surrender to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You may have to abandon that career. You may have to abandon that way of making money if you're a palm reader or something like that or whatever it may be. You might have to burn magic books and paraphernalia and shrines and false altars. Get that junk out of your life because Jesus offers you eternal life. And he offers you what all this other power can never give you, which is love.
Yeah.
Right.
Real love, real acceptance, and a real future with the most powerful, the most high spirit. Not these subsequent little junior league gods, like junior league powers. Mm-hmm. He's the most high God. And he's worth you to burn your magic books. He's worth you to burn your horror movie collection, whatever it is, you know, that you're actually just like, this is bringing darkness into my life. Like, just burn that stuff.
All the idols.
Just get rid of it, you know?
They have to go.
And it's hard to do. It costs you something. But I think Pastor Bob mentioned that's going to release so much life when you actually just turn from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure so. Will.
Yeah.
Well, if
you're
having
a
hard
time,
yeah, I was just saying, if you're having a hard time in some areas and you're feeling like you need some kind of deliverance, you know, we have a spiritschoolofministry.com. You can go on there. You can get a whole free training on deliverance. And I think you may even find deliverance in the process. And then obviously here, we would be glad to minister to you at any time because that's what we do. That's who we are. Actually, I was thinking the other night, we were having a class and we were talking about deliverance. And I mentioned, I said, you know, I've been all over the world and been involved in deliverance, but I never did a deliverance. God is the deliverer. I just happened to be present and he may have used me, you know, a little bit, but he's the deliverer, not us, right. not people. So I believe that if you actually go and seek him, he will deliver you.
Yes.
And so, Father,
thank you, God.
I pray for anyone, Father, that might be just caught up in intimidation, in fear and stress, Father, not knowing. And sure. Father, those sometimes, especially when it gets to things of the occult, heavy or light, Father, like Rose was mentioning, the white magic kind of thing. It doesn't matter, Father. Those things have a subtle drawing down on your soul. So in Jesus' name, I pray, oh God, that you would open up, Father, a door of deliverance for anyone that might be struggling in this area, Father, that you would bind any spirit, Lord, that would try to harass,
yes, Lord.
Try to bind a person's soul in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. By your power, oh God, reach right where they're at now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.